Before we begin, inshallah, the sisters, can you hear me? The sisters had the quiz amongst themselves, and they like the brothers also to do the same thing. So let's see if you can answer. This is for the brothers only. And the sisters are ready with the heels for any wrong answer. How many years did Salah ad-Din rule for? I don't think, is this in the notes, by the way? I mentioned it. Now, what's the policy in the exam? Do you question everything that was mentioned or only what's in the notes? Who knows the answer? 20 years. This is for you. Do you want me to throw it? Can you catch? Can you catch this one? Okay. What country is Kark in? Yes. Turkey. Up with the heels. Wrong. Who said Jordan? Did you raise your hand? Awesome. What was the capital of Khwarizm? That's me. Uganda is a country in Africa. You see how far you went? Uganda. One letter made all that difference. Yes. With the R. There is R. Who encouraged the Tatars to invade the Muslim land? Christians. You see, this kind of questions will not come, should not come, because they are vague. Questions usually should be specific. It was not for you. Why you caught? Yeah, good. All right, quickly. How many years did Khwarizm Shah rule for? For how many years did Khwarizm Shah rule? 16? You did not raise your hand. You were wrong. You know? 49. Come on, no guessing. Yes. The sister is upset. She's ready with... Look it up in the notes. It's 20, how many years? 21. See, guys? By the way, this is my first time, and I have some... I can tell some feedback. Like, the sisters seem to be more active, actually. Why, or how can I tell that? Look at the pearls of wisdom. Where are the brothers? Right? They did not like anything from the course. Usually the sisters are the picky ones. So what happened here? Anyways. Okay, inshallah, we will begin now. Or should we continue? Let's finish this. How long did it take for the Tatars to occupy Russia? How long? Well, actually you have to specify, because they went first and they were unsuccessful. Then they went again and they were successful. Good. Who ruled the narrow strip of land between Iran and Iraq? How was Giyuk related to the following Khan? Menko. What's the relationship between... Giyuk and Menko. Who said cousin? Yeah, too late. What was Najmuddin Ayyub's full title? Yes, sister. Giyuk and Menko, cousins. Giyuk and Menko, they are cousins. Okay. Giyuk is the son of who? Okitai. Menko is the son of Tulai. Tulai and Okitai both are the sons of Genghis Khan. Right? So, what was Najmuddin Ayyub's full title? Who wants the last one? You are sweet by yourself. You don't need... No, that's for me. Inshallah, this is for you, sisters. Inshallah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa tabi'ahu da amma ba'd. Now, we reached year 699. We said in this year many developments took place. In that year, many developments took place. One of these developments is the establishment of the new state that eventually became the new caliphate, Al-Khilafah Al-Uthmaniyah. The first one is Artughrul from the Seljuqs. But the real one who was considered the founder is Uthman ibn Artughrul. And that's why it's called Al-Dawla Al-Uthmaniyah. Also, that year witnessed the second coming of the Tatars. We said from the aftermath of Ain Jalut, the stoppage of the Tatars' invasions to the Muslim land. Asham and Egypt, they were united together. But soon after that, now, who was the ruler earlier? We had Baybars ruling after he killed Qutuz, right? Now, after Baybars, the conflict started arising again. Why? You have two countries, one in the north and one here. You cannot have the same person at the two places. Here in Cairo was the center. And there, the deputy. They wanted independence. What encouraged them also? The past history. That Halab, Aleppo used to be alone. Damascus used to be alone. So why not do that again now? On top of that, in that year, we have similar, subhanAllah, how history repeats itself, similar incidents taking place to the incidents before the attack of the Tatars to Baghdad. The deputy in Damascus, he was encouraging the Tatars to come. You are ruling Damascus. You are in charge here. So why would you bring the Tatars? What more are you going to get from them? Haven't you learned the lesson for how many years? Haven't you heard about what happened to the Muslims? In that year, the ruler in Egypt was Muhammad al-Nasir, or al-Nasir Muhammad ibn Qalawun. Al-Nasir Muhammad ibn Qalawun. Again, he is from what lineage? Mamluk. Nasir Muhammad ibn Qalawun. He is from the Mamluk. Wallahi, if you read only his biography, you will have headache. You know why? Because three times, he was ousted and brought back. Why? First time, there was no ruler. He's the next in line. So they did the same thing at the time of Qutuz. They appointed him when he was a kid. And there was supervision over him. Then he was kicked away by Ruknuddin Babers, Al-Janik Shir. Not the same Babers that we had another Babers. Okay? Then he allied with people from Damascus, so he was restored again as the king. Then he was removed, but he was not killed. That time, in the third time, he became the king. Now, remember, all that was happening in the presence of Abbasi Khalifa. There was Khalifa, but what kind of Khalifa? Only image. That's it. We are serving face, we are keeping the name that the Khalifa is there. In that year, Qazan was the Ali Khan. What did we say the Ali Khan means? The obedient Khan. Qazan declared that he is a Muslim. He accepted Islam. So, his Islam did not stop him from attacking the Muslims. He came with his troops, with the Tatars, to invade the Muslim land. He attacked Halab, occupied Halab. Now, if a person has an experience before, bad experience, immediately any parallels, anything similar, they will bring the same bad history again. And he wants to avoid that. People were terrified. In Damascus, still 400 kilometers from Halab to Damascus, people are terrified. People were terrified. And Nasir Muhammad bin Qalawun came quickly to the rescue. And subhanAllah, in Al-Andalus, we have the same parallel. At one time in Al-Andalus, Muslims were unable to defend themselves. They had to seek help of Muslims in Morocco. The first time with the Dawla Al-Murabitun, the second time with Dawlat Al-Muwahidun. That's what happened, and that's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A nation that does not defend itself by itself does not deserve to last. That is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what happened there in Al-Andalus. One time they were helped, another time they were helped, third time they were helped, until when? Until when? So here, that's the issue. The king is in Cairo. He came with the Khalifa. They met in Rabi' al-Awwal of the year 699 between Halab and Damascus in Hims. This is the third time that will be a battle between the Tatars and the Muslims there. And it's named either Hims the Third, the battle, or it's more famous with Wadi al-Khazandar. Wadi al-Khazandar. Wadi means valley. Valley al-Khazandar, because it took place here near a valley. What happened? The Muslims go into the battle with their king, with the Khalifa with him, the Abbasi Khalifa. They were defeated. They were defeated. And An-Nasir ran away back to Cairo. And the Muslims who are in Damascus, the news came to them. Hims is 160 kilometers from Damascus. So they are just right there. So the Muslims started running away. The traitor in Damascus is waiting for the Tatars to come and take over, encouraging them. They came. The Tatars came. And Mahmud Qazan, who claimed to be a Muslim, came. He did not distinguish. He did not save any life. Anybody who is opposing him was killing him. At that time, who was in Damascus? Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. There were mujahideen in Damascus. They took shields and protected themselves in the castle in Damascus. And they refused to turn the keys in. And they resisted. The Tatars came, insisted on getting the keys, but they refused. And actually, before that, on the way to come, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, went to Qazan himself with group of scholars and spoke with him in a strong language that the scholars thought he might lose his life. He told him, you claim you are a Muslim and you're coming fighting a Muslim? Eventually, Qazan asked him to pray for him. And Sheikh al-Islam prayed against him. And Qazan is saying, Ameen, Ameen. So, this is what happened the first time. That's Wadi al-Khazandar, the battle of Wadi al-Khazandar. Then they came eventually, but a new development took place in the north because of the internal conflicts, and Qazan had to leave. But the damage was caused already. The Tatars are here now already. So the Muslims had to prepare themselves. Some of them, again, subhanAllah, we're talking only about history, but just imagine that you are in that position. You are there. What do you do? What do you do? I mean, let's be realistic. Don't you say, my family, my kids, I have to protect them. Let's leave the city. Let's be honest. Won't we do that? Or you will stay and say, I will defend my place. Even if that meant, at the price, maybe I might lose my life. Would you do that? Yes or no? Let's be honest. I mean, how can we reach the level of being real Muslims that implementing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal is telling us to do truly? So many Muslims in Damascus, they said, the king ran away with the Khalifa. The Tatars are here. The army is there. They are going to destroy Damascus, just like what they did before. The Christians came. This time there are no Christians. They are the Tatars. So there is no use of us for staying here. We have to leave. We have to leave. Wouldn't you do that? Al-Nasir, rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Qalawun, he felt bad about the loss. And he acknowledged his mistakes. Why he ran away? Because he was not prepared very well. So from the year 699 until year 702, he was preparing for a revenge against the Tatars. The Tatars left, but they still had a group of soldiers in Damascus. So technically it was under the occupation of the Tatars. Although Qazan is not there anymore. But the news came. In the year 702, the news came that Qazan is coming. And now whoever was in doubt in Damascus, whoever was saying, let's stay, let's move, whoever was there, he said, I'm going to leave now. It's the real stuff. Qazan himself is coming again with soldiers. We are leaving. At that time, again, the role of the scholars is apparent. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah issued the fatwa that whoever abandons his place, whoever leaves his place becomes the property of the Muslims. You left it, you don't deserve it. Whoever leaves, runs away, he deserves killing. He deserves killing. Now, what do you think of that? Didn't we say earlier that you can only shed the blood of the Muslim in one of three situations only? So which one of that situation here? Which one of that situation here? Where is apostasy? I'm leaving to save myself so I can worship Allah Azza wa Jal more. That's not apostasy. Everybody who runs from the battlefield becomes apostate? Nobody said that. It is a Muslim land. I'm running from a Muslim land to another Muslim land. They tell you courage is the knowledge of running away at the suitable time. Right? When you know when you move forward and when you run away. So, what do you think? You have no obligation of supporting them. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you have to kill every one of them. But here, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, they deserve to be killing. That was not, this fatwa does not mean that they are disbelievers. And the killing here is what we call ta'zir. In Islam we have specific punishments that are specified by Allah Azza wa Jal or the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we have punishments that are estimated by the judge or the ruler, depending on the magnitude of the sin or the crime that was committed. For them, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that by leaving their places, they are actually, maybe they are saving their own lives. Maybe. But at the expense of what? Of jeopardizing the lives of everybody else there. Everybody else there. That is the problem. You save one life, Allah Azza wa Jal, what does Allah say in the Quran? ألم تر إلى الذين خرجوا من ديارهم وهم ألوف حذر الموت فقال لهم الله موتوا. Haven't you seen those who ran away from their houses in thousands, fearing death? What was the cause for them to leave? Fearing death. فقال لهم الله موتوا. Allah caused them to die. ثم أحيان. It's to show you that death will come to you no matter what. Now, does that mean if there is plague or natural disaster, you say, I believe in Allah, I will stay? No, you take the means, but this is different here in that situation. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, you are jeopardizing the entire city, all the Muslims. There are Muslims who want to fight, who want to defend the city. You are running away, you are causing those to be killed. So you have to stay. And subhanAllah, because of this fatwa, everybody stayed. Everybody stayed. Many of them, not because they wanted to fight, but because they were afraid that they will lose their houses. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah, how the dunya was settled in the heart sometimes. Another amazing fatwa for Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah at that time, he was asked about giving the zakah. He said, we have group of people that are in need of money. We need to pay the zakah. The mujahideen, they need the money also to prepare for the jihad. To whom we should give? And this is documented in his Majmu' al-Fatawa, in the book of Jihad, volume 27. He said, give the money to the mujahideen, even if the poor died. وَلَوْ مَاتَ الْجِيَاعِ. That's exactly his expression. Because at that time, if you give the money to the poor people, yeah, you saved 5-6 lives. The mujahideen did not have money to prepare themselves, to purchase the arms, the weapons that they will defend the city. What will happen? The poor and the mujahideen, all of them will be killed. SubhanAllah, there is fiqh, that fiqh of the fiqh itself, the awlawiyat, the priorities. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, at these times, he was with Ibn al-Qayyim, with the scholars, his students, and the Tatars were there in Damascus. One time, this story related by Ibn al-Qayyim, the student of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, we came across group of the soldiers of the Tatars. They were drunk. One of the students of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah spoke. Again, that was in the presence of the Shaykh. He said, fear Allah, because the Tatars, they still claim to be Muslims. Even with all what they were doing, with the drinking of the khamr, with the killing of the Muslims, they said, we are Muslims. So one of the students of Ibn Taymiyyah looked at them drunk. He told them, fear Allah. He wants to enjoy good. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah told him, what are you doing? What are you doing? Let them drink. So the student was shocked. Why is that? I'm enjoying good. He said, if they stopped drinking, became sober, what will happen? They will kill Muslims. So which one is better? To keep them drunk or to make them sober so they will kill Muslims? That's again another great level of fiqh when you understand the priorities. Many times we don't have priorities. We need to learn that. Many great stories here. So we reached the year of 702, where the news came that An-Nasir Muhammad ibn Qalawun is coming with the Khalifa, and Qazan was coming. The army of Damascus, again, they did not wait for Qazan to come to them, wait in Damascus. They put the camp near Damascus, about 10 kilometers in a place until now is known. The name is changed, but the place is known. The place where this battle took, where this battle happened. Marj al-Sufr. It's known with two names, Marj al-Sufr or Shaqhab. The battle of Shaqhab. And subhanAllah, the parallels happening again, just like what happened in the year 658. An-Nasr Muhammad ibn Qalawun came. It was the beginning of Ramadan. Don't you see how great is the month of Ramadan, the month of victories for the Muslims? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah encouraging the army. From the walls of Damascus, there are gates around Damascus. The people saw Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah going, so they told him, you tell us not to run away, and you are running away. They knew that he's not running away. He was going to join the camp of the army of the Muslims. And he went there. An-Nasr Muhammad ibn Qalawun came. with the Khalifa. So now we have two armies joining forces together. Al-Jaysh al-Shami, the army of the Muslims from al-Sham, and Al-Jaysh al-Misri, the army of the Muslims from Egypt. Al-Nasr Muhammad ibn Qalawun knows Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. So he told him, join us. He said, no. The Sunnah is the man fights with his people. So even in jihad, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, was implementing and teaching people the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Although here we have Al-Nasr Muhammad ibn Qalawun, we have the Khalifa, but Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, was with this group. And before the battle, he said, Inna Mansurun, we are indeed going to be victorious. So the people told him, say inshaAllah. He said, inshaAllah, with confidence, not waiting for the, we are sure. Why? Because Allah says in the Quran, In Tansurullaha Yansurkum. There is a condition and there is a result. Once the condition is fulfilled, the results will take place no matter what. That is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the sunnah was not implemented, the condition was not there, don't expect for the results. Because usually the results will not happen. There might be some exceptions, but that's the general law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever there is a condition, the results will take place. In tansurullaha yansurkum. Here, Muslims were submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah for forgiveness, preparing themselves, trying to defend the Muslim land that was occupied by the Tatars, the invaders. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the victory. That was another victory for the Muslims that ended the attacks of the Tatars in Bilad al-Sham. Again, if you look at the north, there are still internal battles amongst the Tatars. Here, for the Muslims now, that was the time of unity. Again, the day of Eid came and the Muslims were very happy because it was the Eid after Ramadan and it was the victory against the Tatars again. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, in front of everybody in Ramadan, he was drinking to show the people that you break your fast. It is fighting. And the sunnah is to break your fast. You need your strength. The Prophet ﷺ, when he commanded the companions to fast and to break their fast while it was Ramadan, they were traveling, and some of them did not. He said, "Ulaika al-usa," they are the disobedient. It depends. Scholars said, depending on the situation. But here, the sunnah was, in that situation, you need your strength, so you break your fast. And again, unlike what we see, why we don't have these examples now? Because many people of knowledge, they have the knowledge. They speak, mashallah, nice. But when it comes to action, where are the actions? Where are the actions? And Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave the blessings for the people even after their death. Maybe now it's hard to judge. And judgment relies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But people can tell. Now, maybe there are scholars who, mashallah, mentioned a lot and loved a lot. But once they die, there is no mentioning for them whatsoever. On the other hand, you have scholars, maybe at their time, there was no mentioning for them. But what happened later, everybody is mentioning them. Now, we're talking about year 702. Okay? We're talking about a time over 700 years ago. Over 700 years ago. Can you imagine that after your death, people will talk about you? Even after 700 years? How can you do that? I mean, how can you calculate you manage to do that? One simple answer. Be sincere. Be sincere. Implement what you are saying. Let your knowledge be known by your actions, not by your sayings. How many speeches did the Prophet ﷺ give? How many? You look at his actions, they were more. Aisha radhiyallahu anha used to say when the Prophet ﷺ spoke, if one were to count his speeches, his words, he would be able to do that. He would be able to do that. So, this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. He was role model by action, by example. Not only by sayings. I'm saying this because Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when he died, what year did he die? Do you know? Huh? What year? 728 of Hijrah. When he died, do you know where did he die? In the prison. In the prison, in the very castle that was used for the Muslims, for the Mujahideen to defend the land of Islam. That's where he died. But did it harm him? No. It did not. You do what you're supposed to do and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, do not say, many people, they calculate it differently. They say, if I did this, then people will not love me. Then you don't seek the pleasure of people. You seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you could have both, then that's fine. But if you can only please one of them, either people or Allah azza wa jal, you have to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Taymiyyah at his time, when he died, the most difficult thing that happened to him was the taking of his books from him. He could not live without pen and paper. Just like now, some people, they cannot live without a cell phone and internet. See the differences? Subhanallah. So when Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah passed away, when he died in prison, accused of being wrong scholar, or accused of saying things that other scholars do not approve of. But did he give up? No. Everything he said, he was depending on an evidence. And again, we say that he is a scholar, a human. He is subject to errors. We don't say that he is perfect. We love him because of his following to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. We follow what he says because of the evidence, not because it is him who said that. We know truth by evidence. And we know people by truth. We don't know truth by people. Because he did it, then that's the truth. No, we need to go back to the evidence. So that is an example of a scholar, another scholar. And subhanAllah, at this time, this was witnessing a great time for scholars. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Do you know Ibn Hajar? Have you heard this name? Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani from Asqalan, from Palestine. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah wrote a book. He is the one who commented on Sahih al-Bukhari. The most beautiful commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, for Ibn Hajar. Ibn Hajar wrote a book, an entire book about the biographies of the scholars who were in this century. الدرر الكامنة في أعيان المئة الثامنة. The hidden jewels in the prominent people, in mentioning the prominent people in the 8th century. How many people are there? Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, that's one of them. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, the great scholar of tafsir. You know him. Al-Mizzi, rahimahullah, in hadith. Ibn Abdul Hadi, many, many, many scholars. I'm telling you, entire book, in all the book, there are names of scholars. You see how they come together, knowledge and victory, knowledge and strength of Islam. No knowledge, no strength of Islam. So, that's what happened. But again, after this great victory, did Muslims learn the lesson? Now, there are no disputes, no more. There are no conflicts. Unfortunately, no. They kept on doing what they used to do before. But for some time now, alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal saved them from the Tatars all the way until the end of that century, until year 801. You see how we're coming close now to the end of the story of the Tatars. But from Ain Jalut until now, there was no real re-establishment for the Tatars. That's it. Especially after the separation of the Golden Horde. Now, things are changing. Many developments. By that time, I'll actually stop here. Let's leave that until the next session. I will stop here. Do you have any questions about the second campaign, the second attack of the Tatars against the Muslim land? If you have a question, go ahead.
So, when was
Ibn Qayyim was with Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah all the way. He was with him. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah from the southern region of Syria, south of Damascus. But he was all the time with Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Any questions? Any comments? You have something? Omar, you have something? Yeah, for what year? Always, if you have like 600 in Hijra, it's 12 or 3. Okay, so if it is 700, it's roughly 1304 or 1305. Okay, and by the way, I did that on purpose, as I told you, from the beginning. I mean, it's very easy. Actually, there is software. Always, whenever you put the date according to one calendar, Gregorian or the Hijri, it gives you the opposite. But that is roughly the math of it. Yes. What kind of?
Fatawa, like what kind of ulama writing. I have some fresh, some fatawa of Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, and talking about Al-Yasakh specifically.
Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, mentioned that clearly, that it is kufr to believe in it. As I said, it has some things from the Quran. But what is the problem? Our religion is not based on our desires. It is not based on our desires, which means you cannot choose all the ayat of the Quran with the exception of the last surah. For instance, you say that last surah, I don't want it. You cannot. So what happened to the 113 surah that you believed in? You still believe in? No, it doesn't work this way. You have to believe in the entire thing. And that was the problem with Al-Yasakh. You don't say, oh, they are 90% Muslims and only 10%. No, it doesn't work this way. So that was the problem. That's why we say those who believed in Al-Yasakh as their ultimate reference, as their book, they are not considered Muslims. Because that's not the book of Allah. That's not Wahy. Even if it has some of the Wahy. That is not book of Allah. So that's why these are the consistent fatwa from all scholars at that time. Oh yeah. Any other questions? You read at that period of time, I mean, wallah, as I told you, you will have some headaches because Muhammad ibn Qalawun is removed, then he goes back, then Ruknuddin Babers in Damascus, then he comes back. Scholars against other scholars, I mean, this is unbelievable. Who was the cause of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah to enter the prison? It was not the ruler himself. It was the scholars at that time. Did they have knowledge? Yes, they had knowledge. But what was their problem? The problem of knowledge is solved. The dunya, the self-ego that they had. I am the one, not you. And when he came to Ruknuddin Babers, Babers told him, you are accused of looking after the rulership. He's telling Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. So Ibn Taymiyyah told him, I am looking after ruling. Wallahi, I don't take it if you pay money to take it. That was the response. So he told him, wallahi, I know that. They know, but still it was an accusation. And another accusation that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is choosing, odd opinions. You could say whatever you want, but is that thing based on evidences or no? That is the thing. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, when he died, and I told that in the talk before the class. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, when he died, he was abandoned. People left him. People worked against him until they were able to kick him out of the city of Naysabur. That's Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. So that's why it's important. Do not focus on the current moment only. As long as you are working for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not worry. Do not worry. Maybe the result did not come immediately, but it will come, inshallah, and definitely it will. All right, then, inshallah, for how long? 5 minutes break, inshallah, and then we will come back.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. This audio file has been prepared for Al-Kawthar Institute students who have attended this course. Please do not distribute this file without written permission from Al-Kawthar Institute. For more information on our courses, please visit www.alkawthar.org. www.alkawthar.org. Jazakallah khair.